Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
The Biden administration has unveiled a plan to tackle supply chain issues, but will it go far enough?
They do have quite a bit of money in the proposal, but not enough that would cover the range of issues that we're facing.
And the CEO of Colonial Pipeline is defending his decision to pay ransom to hackers. Plus, after a year of sweatpants, regular clothes are back. How retailers are responding. It's Tuesday, June 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A bipartisan Senate report on the January 6th Capitol riot faulted Capitol security officials and federal agencies for intelligence and planning failures leading up to the event. The investigation found that the FBI and DHS did not adequately warn about potential violence targeting the Capitol. The committees also found that one Capitol Police intelligence unit had received a warning but failed to share it widely internally. The 100-page report also had recommendations, including that the Capitol Police Chief be able to unilaterally request help from the National Guard in an emergency, and that Capitol Police officers receive more training. The report includes bipartisan condemnation of the riot, which was led by supporters of former President Donald Trump. Last month, Senate Republicans blocked efforts to create an independent bipartisan commission to investigate the riot. The CEO of Colonial Pipeline testified before a Senate panel today, a month after a ransomware attack forced a shutdown of their fuel pipeline. Joseph Blount defended his decision to pay hackers more than $4 million in Bitcoin in exchange for decryption keys.
I made the decision to pay, and I made the decision to keep the information about the payment as confidential as possible. It was the hardest decision I've made in my 39 years in the energy industry, and I know how critical our pipeline is to the country, and I put the interests of the country first. I kept the information closely held because we were concerned about operational safety and security, and we wanted to stay focused on getting the pipeline back up and running.
Blount said the company is still working to fully restore some of its computer systems. Federal authorities are investigating the release of tax information from some of the richest Americans, including Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Elon Musk, by the nonprofit news organization ProPublica this morning. IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig told the Senate Finance Committee today that the IRS was beginning internal and external investigations. Taxpayer information is confidential, and there are potential criminal penalties for IRS employees or others who release such information. The ProPublica article said the news organization didn't know the identity of their source and described the information it received as IRS data on thousands of people covering more than 15 years. The article highlighted years in which Bezos and others paid little or no federal income tax. Dozens of websites, including the New York Times, CNN, and a UK government portal, temporarily went dark this morning after an internal glitch at the cloud service provider Fastly. The company said the hour-long outage at 6 a.m. Eastern was not a cyber attack, but the result of a configuration problem that affected its infrastructure globally. Services like Fastly are used to speed up web pages by storing content from those sites on servers that are closer to end users. And a new meme stock is catching the attention of retail traders on Reddit forums. Shares of Clover Health Investments, which went public in January by merging with a special purpose acquisition company, shot up more than 85% today. The run-up is reminiscent of recent surges in other meme stocks, including AMC and GameStop. Coming up, more details on the Biden administration's plan to tackle supply chain issues.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The Biden administration has unveiled new measures to address supply chain issues that persist across industries, even as the nation begins to emerge from the pandemic. The measures follow a 100-day review of supply chain breakdowns, focusing on four key areas: semiconductors, large-capacity batteries, pharmaceuticals, and rare earth elements. Peter Harrell, Senior Director for International Economics and Competitiveness, spoke at a White House press conference this afternoon.
We're confident that working together with Congress, industry, labor, and other stakeholders, we can chart a new path that emphasizes resilience, security, broad-based growth, and sustainability.
And joining me now to talk more about the administration's plan is White House reporter Alex Leary. Hi, Alex. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Alex, before we get into these key focus areas, broadly speaking, what were the conclusions of the Biden administration's review of supply chains and what happened during the pandemic?
Broadly speaking, they realize they have a major problem. It's affecting just a number of industries, not just semiconductors, which gets a lot of attention because it's squeezed the auto industry and the consumer electronics, but also just construction material. There's so much demand, and it's just caused a lot of shortages that are rippling across the economy.
So let's talk specifically about semiconductors, which are used in products ranging from cars to cell phones. A shortage continues to saddle those industries even now. What is the Biden administration's plan to fix that?
Well, they don't really have an immediate answer to the problem. They are working with foreign allies where the semiconductor plants and production occurs to sort of speed up and secure more supplies. But largely, industries, including the automakers, are sort of trapped because there's just not enough supply. But the Biden administration is seeking to spur long-term growth of the industry, especially here in the United States, by fostering the financial support for building new plants.
And related to the auto industry and advancing EV technology is this focus on batteries and use of rare earth elements. What can you tell us about the measures specifically focused on those areas?
That's another big long-term issue that the Biden administration is focused on. There's plans in this review to use the Energy Department's loan authority to invest in production of advanced vehicle battery cells and to establish new manufacturing plants. There's also measures calling for a new investment in mining, not just in the United States, but elsewhere, looking to go beyond China to get some of these critical materials, rare earths that are needed for all sorts of products.
The coronavirus pandemic has exposed challenges regarding pharmaceutical supply chains as well. What is the Biden administration specifically targeting there? What are some of their ideas to smooth that out?
They want to use the Defense Production Act, which was enacted first during the Korean War to spur domestic industry to shore up the military, to form sort of a public-private consortium to make essential medicines and the components that go for that. Specifically, this report calls for the Department of Health and Human Services to spend about $60 million towards that goal, but that's just a scrape in what would be needed. And, you know, there's sort of bipartisan support on Capitol Hill for bringing some drug production back to the United States.
What else can you tell us about measures the White House is proposing to help address supply chain issues going forward? What should we expect over the next couple of weeks or months?
Well, the report also calls for the establishment of a couple task force. One of them is just sort of a broad supply chain task force. It's headed up by some of the agency secretaries, and they're going to continue to look at this issue in the long range. And then secondly, they also have called for setting up a so-called trade strike force that will look at enforcement actions against what the administration says are unfair foreign trade practices. China heavily subsidizes some of its industries, including semiconductors, and that's created sort of an unfair playing field, U.S. officials say. They'll look at taking action. One of the things that I outlined in the report is possible tariffs against a certain type of magnet that is largely achieved through trade with China.
That brings up a good point here. How is the Biden administration proposing to pay for all of this?
They do have quite a bit of money in the proposal, but not enough that would cover the range of issues that we're facing. For example, there's $4 billion to shore up the food supply chain, and there's $50 billion that the Biden administration is seeking for the semiconductor industry. But the problem is much bigger than that and much more systemic across a variety of industries. So it's an open question how much more government money would be needed, but also, you know, there's pressure on private industry to kind of do its share as well.
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Alex Leary. Alex, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
And finally, after a year of wearing sweatpants and leggings, people are getting dressed up again for all the weddings, graduations, and vacations they've been missing. But they don't know what to wear. That's presenting new opportunities for retailers and styling service companies like Stitch Fix, which pre-select items based on consumer profiles. In its earnings report on Monday, Stitch Fix said it saw strong demand from first-time and reactivated clients. Here's our Heard on the Street columnist, Laura Foreman.
Right now, I think we're seeing a lot of changing trends in retail, which is really exciting for a company like Stitch Fix, right? Because it means that people are turning over their whole closets. They are finding things no longer relevant in there that they own, and they need all new stuff. So we saw this with data from Rent the Runway, actually. I saw some data for their spring and summer, which showed that people are kind of buying into all new styles. So really bearing a lot of skin, shorter dresses, crop tops, cutouts, things like that. And Stitch Fix indicated a lot of the same stuff.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.